go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Goodness me, looky here. It's the first day of December 2014. Have you made war on Christmas yet? Because you've only got 23 and a half or so, 23, you can't do the math, more days to do it in. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That's where you go if you want to jump into the happening real-time multimedia experience that is the Horn chat room. Folks wandering by already to begin the month of December with the Horn. Good evening, News Ninja Carol Baker. Good evening, Doctor Who. Good evening, Jeremy in Vermont. Good evening, Kathy. Good evening, Lance Roxon. Good evening, Michael. More folks will be by present today. Yes, indeed. You can also go to HeadOnRadioNetwork.com to get the handy-dandy Listen Live pop-out player, which is great for listening on a PC. And, of course, we remind you that if you're listening on a mobile device or if you're new to the program and looking for other means of listening, if you're listening on a mobile device or an iThis or a smart that, then by all means, we recommend the apps from TuneIn and Stitcher. Someday we'd love to have a standalone app of our own, but I did check into that a while back, and if one was offered to us very generously, but it wound up being like $1,800 to have built. We don't have any of that laying around. But anyway, so those two devices are great for on the go, as is Utunes over at the iTunes store. And one other thing, I've got news from Ben Birch. You know, there's a new gizmo out from, and I'm sorry, I just think this is cool. There's a new gizmo out from Amazon that they're selling to a limited number of people who I guess win some sort of life's lottery, Amazon Prime customers who get to order it at half price. Amazon has a gizmo out called Echo, and it looks like sort of a tower, a little, you know, miniature. To me, it reminds me more than anything else of the UE Boom Bluetooth speaker, cylindrical and just sort of stands there. But it's got a lot of neat gizmos in it. And among other things, it's, it's cloud driven. And one can, and its name, of course, it has a name, is Alexa. And one can say, Alexa, play Bob Kincaid. Or, Alexa, play the Horn. And it'll, boop, kick you right over to the live stream. How about that? Yeah, I admit, I'm technologically simple, and I find that just really neat. Ben told me about that just the other day. I guess he was among the elect who got his hands on one. Anyway, there's another listening alternative that's opened up. We're findable on Roku devices. We're findable on, a number of different internet platforms and networks. So, you know, tell your friends and neighbors. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you very kindly. Jeremy sending me a note loud and clear on TuneIn. Thank you. Much appreciated. Because remember, since this isn't actually over-the-air radio, it's... You know, when you work in a traditional terrestrial radio station, you got a button that says monitor and a button that says air. And you can just press the button and you know what's going out over the air. Right. So, anyway, thank you for letting me know that the thing is working. You know, the internet stream. We'll call it the thing, but we know we're talking about the internet stream, right? So, all of that is available, the pop-out player is, at headonradionetwork.com. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And, yes, also available at headonradionetwork.com. We have to go through all of this stuff because everybody, you know, lest people forget. The interface for PayPal contributions, which I welcome you to use with reckless abandon, even. And that is how we keep all of this on the air. Night in, night out. We finished November okay. We finished on schedule. And we start December trying to maybe get out front a little bit because it's probably going to be a tough month. And I am pleased to announce, although some people remembered and knew in advance, I am pleased to announce that that the month of December begins, as most months begin, with Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. Shirley kindly offers at the beginning of every month to match the first $150 that comes in an effort to help take care of fundraising. We have lots of bills to pay. Someday, maybe, we'll get out in front of the bills instead of constantly trying to catch up with them, but we have lots of bills to pay. And this is one of those opportunities to double your contribution. The first $150 worth of contributions that come in get doubled, and that means, for instance, I got a note from Peter today saying he was going to use the traditional mailing address to send in $20 toward Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge because Peter remembered that every month begins with Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. And shortly, a little time thereafter, I got a note from James, and between the two of them, there's $35 gone in Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. That's wonderful. That means there's $115 to go in Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge for this evening. Thank you very kindly, Randy. Loud and clear on iTunes on my Mac, courtesy of the downloaded song from the Horns, pop-up, external player option. Cool. Thanks, Randy. So here we go. It is the first day of December 2014. And, oh, my God, I don't remember seeing that. Maybe it's just the time of year or something, and I don't know. Wait. Let me also say thanks to everybody who had such kind words for our six-hour Friday on the Front Porch conversation extravaganza of this Friday past. It was amazing. It's just amazing, and the conversation continued well after midnight Eastern time in the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. People had a hoot. Cool! News Ninja Carol noting, my pal in New York City who has like 15,000 Twitter followers just tweeted the link to this show. Whoa! Wouldn't that be cool? Oh, that'd be awesome. It would indeed be awesome. And if you're a brand new... latencies being what they are on the internet and everything, if you're a new listener to this program, welcome. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to the ongoing dialogue and discussion that is about as far away from the concepts of right-wing marching orders-driven radio as you are ever likely to hear. Welcome indeed. Thank you, Carol. Thank you for sharing that out. And... my goodness gracious, welcome, welcome, welcome to the neighborhood. Or, as we say around here, welcome to the holler, right? Yeah. No, I was going to say that I don't know if it's just the time of year or maybe things just struck me oddly over the course of this weekend, but it seemed that the morons popped out with absolute copious profligacy, because I like fun words like copious and profligacy over the course of the weekend. And yeah, no, we really, there's a bumper crop. I mean, we got morons with morons, right? Yeah. That's right, that's right, that's right. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up, walk right past that Calliope machine. Step right up, it's Moran Monday on the horn. Right here, before your very ears, behind this thin, cybernetic veil of canvas, you will witness, with those self-same ears, Morans of the right-wing variety. Morans, Morans, Morans. You'll hear Republican Morans, you'll hear Birther Morans, Deather Morans, Tenther Morans, Booger-Eating Morans, Bircher Morans, Libertarian Morans, 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 Morans. You can't tell the Morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morans. You just can't tell them much. Yes, indeed, yes, indeed. For less than 5 cents per hour of programming, you too, can experience the Moran Monday tent here on the Internet Midway. Oh, my goodness, we do advise men and women to hang on to packages, backpacks, purses, wallets, and small pets and children in entering the Moran Monday tent, because the Morans can get a little grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Heading for the hills may not even be help. Full. It may not be help. Give me eat.
Let's see. Let's see. I was just checking out the chat room there. I was a little confused. I wanted to make sure because, you know, I put the podcast of the Friday on the Front Porch 6 hour extravaganza palooza up as a single file. It should have gone up as a 6 hour file, and but they were talking about in the chat room something entirely different. That should teach me. It should teach me not to just try to read into a conversation on the fly. No, quit confusing me, people. Anyway. Thank you, Michael. Thank you kindly. Michael's the same. Bob, that was a lot of fun Friday. And it was. And people, as Asa noted early in the process, people began to get more loose and more freewheeling, and the conversation just, well, it blossomed. It really, really did. And if ever anyone wondered what it is that sets the horn apart from so much of other broadcasting, well, one listen to this past Friday's Friday on the Front Porch 6 hour extravaganza palooza will tell you. Unscripted, unedited, unanythinged, rousing conversation. But anyway, I'm wasting the Moran Monday music. Tim from L.A. is still mad at me because I keep saying the word Calliope to him, and it sets off an earworm, and he's just about in a furniture-kicking frenzy from hearing the word Calliope, aren't you, Tim? Yes, and he's taken to calling me names like a effed-up hillbilly and things like that, Calliope, and he's trying to plant an earworm in me from It's a Small World After All, and I'm impervious to that kind of thing because I'm using the dark side of the farce. Calliope, 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 Calliope. Tim from L.A. in the chat room. Shut up, Bob! All caps, exclamation points. Calliope. I'm a giver. Carol taught me that. I'm a giver. Yeah, Tim's down to cat typing now. Anyway. Either that's cat typing or that's the head banging off the keyboard. No, Carol, I'm also impervious to John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. His name is my name, too. No. There's only a couple that'll really, really get me, and very few people know what those are, mercifully. Seriously, though, Moran Monday. Now, this one particular story shook out Saturday-ish. Now, I arose kind of tired-like after a six-hour broadcast marathon Friday night on Saturday morning. But I was excited. I was very excited. Because it was, yes, rivalry Saturday in college football. Battles over axes and jugs and eggs and iron and were all to be played out on that day. The particular focus of my interest was the Egg Bowl in Mississippi Stan that was played in Oxpatch, Mississippi, this year. And, of course, the Iron Bowl in Alabama, which year in and year out proves to be probably the single most exciting rivalry game in college ball, period, end of sentence. But there was a lot of other stuff going on. Ohio State University and Michigan continued its long tradition of boring people half out of their minds with their brand of football. And I'm going to get a hate mail for that one. Sorry. And what else was there? What else? I took time to watch my beloved Mountaineers nearly gag on Iowa State. But we managed to prevail, so we are 7-5. We had something to do. Would there be any doubt that the Battling Baptists of Baylor would be in the fourth slot there in the college playoff ranks were it not for the fact that my beloved Mountaineers thumped the bejesus right out of them. See, when you're talking about beating the Baylor Battling Baptists, you can say things like thump the bejesus out of them. Remember, Baylor is where you send your kids if you don't want them learning any of that demonic stuff like Dainson. Who was it? Was it Tom DeLay? Was it Tom DeLay that said that's why he sent his kid to Baylor, because they wouldn't dance? Of course, it's Baylor also earns my wrath for being the alma mater, even though it is in Waco, where I have dear, dear friends. We have dear, dear friends at the Horn. It is also the alma mater of Rand Paul. I don't know if he had that thing on his head by then or not. It was at a state park somewhere outside Waco that Rand Paul tried to baptize a female member of the Baylor swim team and convince her to worship a bong, which he called Aqua Buddha. Yeah, we have a clip of Rand Paul from his college days.
I'm so wasted.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Anyway, so that was my Saturday, and I was sitting there and I was watching the pregame, which was broadcast live from Tuscaloosa, which early on in the morning got me salivating wildly for Dreamland ribs, which I haven't had in a couple of years and may not have for another 15 or 50 or ever. Anyway, so I'm sitting there and watching the pregame and blah, 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 blah. And then something comes across my telescreen. Yeah. To wit, an individual by the name of Elizabeth Lauten, L-A-U-T-E-N. Maybe you all already know the Elizabeth Lauten saga by now. But honest to God, I couldn't believe what I was reading. And I went and I checked multiple sources after that. No, this isn't The Onion. Because, see, you can get burnt so easily now. Because there are people, like I've said before, who are out there just making up stuff and putting it. I mean, it's gotten to the point where I think there's a cottage industry now of making up Sarah Palin stories and attaching quotes to them that just don't exist. I mean, and because Sarah Palin is such a moron, you have to meticulously research every one to find out whether or not it's true. Because there is no stupid thing within this solar system that is not attributable to Sarah Palin. You know, Mussolini. Godzilla from Wasilla. Right? But no, I went, I researched, and lo and behold, it was true. And what in particular was true was the fact that Elizabeth Lauten, who was the communications director, was, important verb tense there, who was the communications director for a Congress critter by the name of Stephen Fincher, which just sounds nasty, decided that she was unhappy with the Obama first daughters, Sasha and Malia. Now, the backstory to all of this is that Sasha and Malia, being 13 and 15, and most assuredly teenage girls, and all that comes with being a teenage girl, or a teenager in general, I don't think things would have been manifestly different had one of them been a teenage boy. But there comes a time in a teenager's life when the parents, even when one of the parents is the president of the United States of America, simply dealing with the units, as we used to call them, the parental units. And I believe that wasn't that originated with the Coneheads sketches on Saturday Night Live? Oh, Jesus, I'm old. But just simply dealing with one's parents when a teenager becomes a colossal undertaking in ennui. Ennui, yeah, whatever. But it's just, everything's boring, everything sucks, everything is dull, everything is stupid, and apparently one of the things that was stupid for the Obama girls was being compelled to put on their dressing up duds and stand there while Daddy pardoned the turkey. Oh my God, I can't believe we're going to have to stand here and watch Dad pardon a turkey. Again. I mean, like, how many turkeys has he pardoned so far? Right? And so, apparently, if you watch the video, there was, I mean, you can almost see the, oh my God, rays emanating from the Obama girls, which in its way is kind of sweet, because you have to go through that phase of, oh my God, I can't believe what a nerdy, uncool, oh yuck. No, really, Mom, Dad, please, please don't come, please don't come to the dance. Please, please, please. No, I'm just talking with friends, Mom. Really, Mom, honestly. You know, all of that. Anyone who's ever raised teenagers has been through it. Hell, anyone who's ever been a teenager has been through it. Or maybe these are what we call first world problems. Ah, funny, funny Lottie, funny Bob, but I thought Obama pardoned Bush when he said impeachment was off the table. Get it, turkey pardoning. Lottie will be here all week. Don't try the veal. I do. Well, I don't know. Lottie's like, well, if Lottie's cooking the veal, try the veal. But anyway, so there's all of that. So the Obama daughters, the first daughters, stood there utterly nonplussed by the most powerful man in the world pardoning a turkey. Yeah, there we go. Lottie says, yeah, try the sous vide salmon instead. Lottie has become a master of the sous vide method of cuisine. So there they were, the first daughters. And as as Gawker reported, Max Reed writing at Gawker, Malia and Sasha Obama are over the stupid White House turkey pardon. Mr. Reed writing, not even the pomp and ritual of the White House can overcome the most powerful force known to man, teen contempt. Today, President Obama took, and this was last week, undertook the White House's stupid traditional Thanksgiving ceremony of pardoning a turkey. His daughters, Malia and Sasha, 16 and 13, accompanied him. Their barely contained disdain for the production was utterly appropriate and utterly magnificent. I mean, there was some serious eye rolling going on. I mean, Dad! And again, for those, it was adorable. But not to Elizabeth Loughton, who was communications director for Stephen Fincher. Yes, I used that word. Subject line coming in from Sergi. Fincher? Fincher? But I barely know her. Signed, Sergi, I will finch him through, though, with extra mayonnaise, please. Kyle. You guys. It reminds me of that, the running gag that ran on All in the Family. Archie pretending never to remember how to pronounce the name of their local priest or whatever. And, of course, Edith was the faithful one who always went to church, and she would say, Archie, in today's sermon, and he'd say, really? The Reverend Felcher said that? And she would reply, Fletcher! To which Archie would, whatever! So, yes. And a note coming in, before we even get into the real gist of this story, note coming in from Ron and Raleigh. Pardons? He's pardoned damn near as many turkeys as human beings, 52 in 6 years. Those huzzified Obama girls just don't have any class, just like their mama and daddy. Which is where we're going. Elizabeth Loughton was the communications director for Representative Stephen Fincher. And she took to her Facebook page to upbraid the Obama daughters for their conduct at the sacred turkey pardoning ceremony. Who is Representative Stephen Fincher? You might recall, because we discussed this at the time, you might recall that back during discussions of nutrition assistance, which, generally speaking, we like to think we here, progressives, liberals, decent human beings, believe in, you might recall that there was a bit of an imbroglio in the House when a member of the Democratic Party, a representative, said, listen, food stamps, nutrition assistance, the SNAP program, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, that's what Jesus would do. That's a WWJD. What would Jesus do? Jesus would feed the poor. He goes on a bit about it, in fact. At which point, the conservative, God-fearing, Bible-believing, upstanding, Christian, faithful, repig-licking Stephen Fincher stood up and said, I ain't necessarily agreeing with it. Because, see, he's from Tennessee, Stan, Stephen Fincher is. He was elected in this last election with 73% of the vote. Wherever Tennessee's 8th Congressional District is, and I believe it is the 8th Congressional District, 73% of the people who went to the polls voted for this creep. Because he said, well, I'll give you a Bible verse. He who will not work, let him starve. He's apparently a big fan of Pastor John Hagee. Yeah, that guy. And the House of Representatives, with the collusion of Senate Democrats, went on to gut the living bejesus out of the SNAP program. Because we've just got too many poors eating too much food here in the... Wait a minute. The greatest country on earth! Too many people eating too much. And never mind the fact that food stamps don't go to people who will not work. They go to people who cannot work. They go to people who work their asses off, but wind up doing so at Walmart, where the wages are so sloppy low that you can't afford to buy the food that they sell inside the Walmart, never mind the fact that Walmart is nonetheless a major recipient of SNAP benefits, because the biggest recipient of the SNAP program in the United States of America are the retailers. Because the SNAP program is predicated on hungry poor people, poor working class people, spending their SNAP benefits paying retail for food. You know, with all the markups and stuff. And so, as it turns out, Stephen Fincher was there to declare his admiration for God and mama and apple pie and hunger, because it's in the Bible. But it also turned out that Representative Stephen Fincher is the second biggest recipient of federal farmer welfare in the new 90 states. Mm-hmm. He gets oodles and oodles and oodles, millions of dollars in farm subsidies. That Representative Fincher. Okay, yes, yes. Sometimes we have to answer. Sometimes we have to answer questions. Sergi, wise beyond his years, is nonetheless a younger member of the Horn Family Commune congregation. And Sergi just wrote in, "Hold it! All in the Family? I speak as someone who has never watched All in the Family here." Oh well, Sergi, have you got a merry time a coming to you? Sergi asks, did Archie really pronounce the priest's name Felcher? Either the slang term for the vile sex act didn't exist back then, or the writers of that show slipped one hell of a whopper past the censors back then. Signed, Sergi, even a freak like me does not touch that, Kyle. Sergi, I can assure you that the word existed back then. And I can assure you, indeed, that they must have giggled every time it came up in the script. Yeah, whatever, you Reverend Fletcher, whatever. Because that's the way it always played.
Archie, the minister says we should be kinder to the poor.
Yeah, well, that Reverend Felcher...
Fletcher.
Well, whatever. He don't know what it means to work.
Yeah, and happy to be a cultural consultant, I am. But so that's the guy that Elizabeth Loughton was communications director for. No, really, communications director. That's, you know, in charge of putting Representative Fincher, whatever. She was his face into social media and the media world and everything. And so it was. And so it was that on Saturday, I ran across the story detailing the following. Elizabeth Loughton, communications director for a teabagging member of Congress who thinks hunger is a character-building exercise. Remember when Flush Flimball suggested that the problem with these children today, my friends, they don't understand the value of a dollar. They say they're hungry. Well, whatever happened to dumpster diving? Yeah, that. Well, so Fincher is cut from that same sleazy, immoral, amoral, conscienceless, soulless, disgusting cloth. So naturally, he hired Elizabeth Loughton, who, if you went to her Twitter page, you would see that she declares herself first and foremost in her profile, loves God, yes, absolutely, and everything pink and green and pearls. So on her Facebook page, she decided to upbraid the first daughters. Dear Sasha and Malaya, I got you both in those awful teen years, but you're a part of the first family. Try showing a little class. At least, actually, I think she's from North Carolina. We may be getting this wrong. Dear Sasha and Malaya, I get you both in those awful teen years, but you're a part of the first family. Try showing a little class. At least respect the part you play. Then again, your mother and father don't respect their positions very much, or the nation for that matter, so I'm guessing you're coming up a little short in the good role model department. Nevertheless, stretch yourself. Rise to the occasion. Act like being in the White House matters to you. Dress like you deserve respect, not a spot at a bar. And certainly don't make faces during televised public events. No, really. For those of you who don't know this story yet, I'll pause while you curse me for not telling you to get out the hockey puck and the duct tape. Because now the neighbors are listening and you're screaming.
Why, that no good, Mark Stagan, not Paul Prazelakin.
Right. Oh, my God, Carol Baker, what has your friend done? If even one of those 15,000 Twitter followers is hearing this, they're going, oh, my God, I ain't never heard nothing like this. Welcome. Yeah. No, she really did. She told a 13-year-old and a 16-year-old to quit dressing like they were trying to get a seat at the bar. Now, this being a radio program, I'm kind of at a loss to do anything much more than explain to you that in all the photographs I have seen of the turkey pardoning ceremony, there is nothing trashy about the way that Sasha and Malia are dressed. one suspects that insofar as she worked for a teabagger, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christian right-wing member of the teabagging association. No, the problem with Malia and Sasha ain't what they're wearing, but what's wearing the clothes. You know what I mean? I mean, that and the fact that, you know, for the last 6 years or so, they've grown up in our White House. Ron pointing out, that Carol's sure a giver. I'm sure she's happy to share followers. Yeah. So, needless to say, it did not take long before the people who pay attention to such things noticed the comments Miss Manners, Miss White Manners, Elizabeth Loudon. And she started catching hell. After which, on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, by the way, she was at one point in time new media political manager of the Republican National Committee, the whole shooting match, and I do mean shooting match. Well, she reconsidered her position and issued a classic, I mean classic, Republican apology. This one's for the ages. I reacted to an article and quickly judged the two young ladies in a way that I would never have wanted to be judged myself as a teenager. More on that in a moment. After many hours of prayer, talking to my parents, and rereading my words online, I can see more clearly how hurtful my words were. Please know that these judgmental feelings truly have no place in... Actually, it says pace. I don't know. Have no pace in my heart. Furthermore, I'd like to apologize to all of those who I have hurt and offended with my words and pledge to learn and grow, and I assure you I have, from this experience. Amen. Isn't that classic? And that's where I sort of got involved in the little imbroglio. Because I don't know, I guess I have a very tingly, spidey sense about right-wing apologies. Because there on Saturday, reading that apology, the phrase that stood out for me was, I spent hours of prayer. Hours of prayer. Yes. After writing a post in which she sleazed a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old girl, who were completely appropriately dressed, and who the hell's business is it if they weren't? I mean, if they'd come out dressed like the Bush twins, oh wait, whose business would it have been? But Mama Michelle, no way she's going to let her daughters behave like the Bush twins, because see, there was no Twitter, I guess. Was there even any Facebook? But I remember when, shortly after taking office, George W. Dimleader Bush, his daughters were caught drinking underage in a roadhouse, honky-tonk, what have you, somewhere in the general Austin, Texas area. Or at least one of them was. Maybe it was Jenna, the blonde one. But, I mean, she was drunk. Underage and drunk. I mean, like, falling down on the sawdust-covered wood floor, drunk. All tipped over with a bottle in her hand and a cigarette in the other. And, hey, wait, you know who I am? Yeah, my daddy's president. I know. How about that? Whew. And nobody was out there writing columns. Okay, I think they were scolded, but it was more along the lines of, "Wow, we spent taxpayer dollars to send Secret Service agents to trail a Bush daughter while she went out underage drinking, and is the Secret Service out there perhaps facilitating said underage drinking?" Hoo-wee! But while underage, it must be noted that the Bush twin in question was in fact in college, not 16, and certainly not 13. So I was just sitting there gobsmacked at that line, how after many hours of prayer and talking to my parents, many hours of prayer, many hours of prayer. Because I don't know about you, and I don't pray. But if I'm being, I mean, we have occasional little moments of snark on this program, and almost immediately I feel bad about it. Because sometimes it's fun, maybe, to just, you know, zing one. But in the end, where's the joy in life in hurting someone else? Where's the joy in being deliberately mean, especially to someone you know, or in this case, don't? Especially, and I say that particularly with regard to people who have done nothing to earn one's ire. Now, I don't feel bad about any spicy, any salty thing that I would say, for instance, about old Rand Paul or Chris Christie. I don't feel bad about Moran Monday nominations of people like, you know, Chuck Schumer for saying that maybe millions of Americans didn't deserve health care after all. But these two young women were simply standing there watching their president of the United States daddy participate in a really silly thing. Because even when you're president of the United States, sometimes you have to do silly things. Ceremonial things. That's true. Flavio says you cannot make Elizabeth Loughton up. No. If she didn't exist, the universe would have had to call her into existence just to point out the universal hypocrisy that surrounds the teabaggers and the right wing and the Christians in this country. And I put Christians in quotes. Took her hours of prayer, it did. Lord, dear Jesus, dear baby Jesus, dear sweet baby Jesus, I wrote some things about a 13-year-old and a 16-year-old girl, and I said they was dressed like they was trying to get a seat at the bar, and
told them to act like they had some class and said their mama and daddy wasn't good role models because they don't love America, Lord, because, well, you know, they don't love America, Lord.
Wait a minute. Back up. Where do you get off saying such a...
Because, see, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. It took hours and hours of prayer. I don't know if God just has like low bandwidth on the prayer pipe. You know, maybe your first opening, "Dear Lord, in the name of our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, Amen." Maybe that's the metaphysical equivalent of ling 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 ling. You know, like what? You know, like it's 1994, and you're signing on to, oh dear God, what was that internet service that freaking Sears provided? Ding ding, right? Yes, as Gerald notes in the chat room, "Dear little white baby Jesus, here in this season when your birth is under attack from the godless humanist, secularist, democratic, liberal progressives, Amen, forever and ever, glory." Hours and hours of prayer to realize that you should not write. And you know, this is kind of why I don't participate in that club. It takes hours and hours of prayer to come to the conclusion that you should not write, "I'm guessing you're coming up a little short in the good role model department. Act like being in the White House matters to you. Dress like you deserve respect, not a spot at a bar." Took hours and hours of prayer. And then, after the hours and hours of prayer, to, you know, the Almighty Creator of the universe, she then went and talked to Mommy and Daddy about it. Just, I don't know, just in case she got a response back from the Almighty Creator of the universe that she didn't necessarily like. "Hey, honey, just because their skin is darker than yours doesn't mean you get to hate them." "Mama, Daddy, you're never going to believe what God done said." No, really. Hours and hours of prayer. And then she talked to Mama and Daddy, who, to their credit, one assumes it was to their credit, may have reminded her of the photograph that she, in fact, sent around of herself once upon a time. Yeah. Dressed, well, whatever, with the neck of a brown beer bottle jammed into her mouth past the position at which one simply is drinking beer, as an arm reaches over her shoulder with another beer bottle, and she is apparently trying to get a seat at the bar. I also went and looked on her Twitter feed, and that was an interesting little event, too, after, you know, reading about the many hours of prayer that it took to realize that you really ought not sleaze all over a pair of teenage girls for just being teenage girls. "But they're them Obamas!" Shut up. "
So then I looked at her feed that morning, her Twitter feed. And lo and behold, what else did I see there? I saw there that she had also retweeted some jackass who was complaining about, you know, those people, quote, burning down your town while you're complaining about not having any justice or peace. Yeah, she's another one of those clueless white people who doesn't understand why anybody would be upset about the homicide of Michael Brown. Nice, just nice. And the interweb tubes took out after Elizabeth Loudon with a vengeance. And I do mean a vengeance. Finding such things as the photograph of her, I hesitate to use the typically accepted term for what she was doing to that beer bottle, but doing that to a beer bottle. The woman who would upbraid a pair of teenagers for just standing there. Yeah. Well, there's good news. As of today, it was announced that she had resigned. I have resigned. Resigned. But that's okay. She had a separate gig she was running at something called Audeamus, which apparently has a bunch of retweets of Stephen Fincher on it. Whatever. So I guess she'll work that, or else she'll wind up with a quiet little promotion and be, oh, I don't know, the social media director for Rand Paul and that thing on his head. After all, Rand Paul had a predilection for keeping as a campaign advisor a neo-Confederate advocate of secession, and saw no problem with it. So, you know, don't cry for Elizabeth Loudon. She will be demoted upstairs rapidly. I mean, you don't do things like, I mean, for God's sakes, Representative Fincher is probably out there fundraising on the backs of the Obama girls, but even as we speak, because, you know, teabaggers do that. Right? Yeah. By the way, note coming in from Michael in Madison. No pace in my heart. Subject line. The hurtful words have no pace in her heart. They just sit there, not passing through, festering. Exactly. You can't just throw things like that out into the universe and not have Michael take that alley oop and jam it right through the hoop. Do you believe that? Exactly. Ron and Raleigh, with a little cultural come along for Sergi. Tell Sergi, I have a copy of S. Clay Wilson's Felch comics from 1969, which predates him by several decades. P.S. I'll bet you won't describe the activity in question. P.P.S. Ron, no, I won't. I figure people can go to, like, you know, the interweb tubes and find out. But, Jesus, I mean, there's all kinds of fun little phrases out there that I'll never forget. I think maybe it was on the horn section many years ago when John Fox, Peter Godbold, and I found out about Cleveland steamers and rusty trombones. Oh, dear. Or as George Takei would say, oh, my. We were all just shocked. Yeah, there's yeah. Thank you, Bill and Helena, with a sound clip for us. Yeah, this is what that sounds like. I can remember when Bill, that did sound like the future. The ancient sound of progress. Thank you, Bill. And that's what's going on during all the dear Lord in heaven, God above, thank you, Jesus. That's just that. But you'd think God could afford, you know, better connectivity, but everybody remembers how expensive those services were back then, too. Yeah. So, what's this? What's this, Greg, in Talibandiana? The subject line just said Talibandiana tomato juice, Bob. Greg writes, I was thinking about you on my quest for ever-rising grocery prices today. Fortunately, I had my Kroger Gold card, so why not? No Walmart. Good on you, Greg. Red Gold Talibandiana tomato juice. Republican free. That is, it hasn't killed me yet. Because I had mentioned, see how this works? If we were out there actually doing capitalism, this is, you know, we could be huge. That was almost Captain Kirk, wasn't it? We could be huge. When was it that I was talking about my favorite tomato juice and I mentioned Red Gold brand from Talibandiana? And it really is. Red Gold, 100% natural, fresh squeezed tomato juice, not from concentrate. If you are, as I am, a tomato juice fan, then if there's anything but Red Gold on your shelves of your local grocer, you just keep moving. Campbell's tomato juice, please. Off-brand, store brand that tastes like the inside of the can, feh. Fletcher, whatever. No, Red Gold really is the best tomato juice I've ever tasted. I think it's the not from concentrate part. And I just, and it all comes from Indiana, Talibandiana. And I have this vision of, you know, the industrial theme from Warner Brothers cartoons. The one where the two chipmunks, who are not, by the way, named Chip and Dale. But they get harvested, and not, you know, really gross or anything. But oh, come on. No, not those chipmunks either. Alvin, no. Oh, well, I can't get it on the fly, and it was just a passing cultural reference. But I can always, I just think of the mechanized harvesters going down through the tomato patch in Talibandiana. Dun 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 dun. Yeah, that. Hey. So, it'll be interesting to find out where she winds up. Elizabeth Louder. Loughton. And we've got ever so much more to do on this Moran Monday, although I think we've covered quite a bit of territory as it is. Note coming in from Tim from L.A., Fincher, Felcher, Malia, and Sasha. Bob, don't these morons know that even me, a lowly slug, can find photos of both first daughter from George W. on Fox News drunk and acting stupid? What is it with these buffoons trying to promote morality and ethics when they themselves tend to forget that their party's first daughters are dim-witted, brain-dead morons? Well, they're not. I don't think they're dim-witted, brain-dead morons anymore, because I don't think they're Republicans. Yeah, how about that? And, yes, coming from Tim, another suggestion. We need to try to make and sell some horn hockey pucks and duct tape, because it's not appropriate to yell here in the library. I understand, Tim. Calliope. Thanks very kindly to Jeremy in Vermont, who sends along a note. In memory of my great-uncle Roland, who passed quietly in his sleep last night. Oh. Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. And our best to your entire family as they remember a good man. And thanks also going out to Kelly and to Kelly twice, who has finished up Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. Anyone who would like to go forward and help get this December off to a rousing start is more than welcome to do so, although Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge has been met. Thank you very much, Kelly. Thank you indeed. There will be some bill paying going on at the very least. Not all of it, but some of it, this evening after the program. So, a gentle reminder, there are two lines for reaching the program this evening. One of them, of course, is the Gizmo line, and that is 304-663-4676, 304-663-4676. The 4676 part spells HORN, H-O-R-N, 304-663-HORN, or the other line, which we will not confuse anyone by calling it the Skype line, because you don't have to have Skype to do it, it just comes in via our Skype account. We're not calling it the Skype line because that confuses people. 304-574-8178. 304-574-8178, which spells exactly nothing. It doesn't even spell that, for that matter. So let us, I was going to take a break, but let's don't. Let's go straight to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Tracy, what's happening?
How the heck are you?
I've been waiting since Saturday to take care, to describe the behavior of this woman who wanted to upbraid a pair of teenage girls for I don't know what. So at least I've got that out of my system, which is better, I think.
Oh God, I missed that. I guess I'm going to listen to the podcast later on today or tomorrow.
Oh God.
Upgrade to the who to the what? Oh God, that just sounds terrible.
Yeah, it was pretty awful.
Well, you want some happy news?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you know how we did the thing for the books, if you know, for $50.
Yeah.
I have an incentive.
Yes.
To add to that.
Yes.
For 24 hours, if people pledge $60, not only will they get the book, they will also get a T-shirt that has, on the back of the T-shirt, it has the headlines, 42,000 walk to work. It's about the Birmingham boycott of the bus strikes.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, that picture, it has the actual newspaper article. And on top of that, it has a picture of Rosa Parks being fingerprinted.
Oh, wow. Do you have them in multiple?
No.
Do you have them in multiple sizes?
I have the sizes of medium. Let's see. I have medium, large, and a couple of extra large, but basically medium and large.
Okay.
So I have the one extra, the extra large is yours, so I'm going to send you.
Oh, no, thank you, but it won't fit me.
Oh, are you a 2X like me?
I'm a 2X.
Oh.
You know, big broad shoulders, and yeah, that's.
Is that what it is? The broad, is it broad shoulders?
Yes,
is that what it is?
It's the broad shoulders, Tracy.
Keep believing that.
You gotta believe. I gotta have something to hold on to. I gotta.
I say the reason why I have to wear a 2X is because of my extra large or large shirt will not hold my personality.
There we go.
Because I have so much, but I do have sizes ranging from small, medium, and large, and now a couple of XLs because my band Bob can't wear the XL. But the shirts are amazing, and because I was just talking to my distributor, who's in charge of this, and he's very excited and very proud of me that I am doing this because he's like, you do well by helping others. And so he's like, ask me how many T-shirts I have. I said, probably about 20 T-shirts, maybe 30. And he's like, why don't you just go ahead and for $60 throwing a T-shirt for the next 24 hours. So Horn family, for you skinny people in our group, because obviously Bob and I do not fit that description, if you wear a size of small, medium, or large, we will be sending you a T-shirt along with the book. If you do this within 24 hours. So I hope that we'll get some more people out there to pledge. So, yay.
Yeah, and just a little bit of a backgrounder. This is a history of the civil rights struggle as reprinted from actual newspapers.
Mm-hmm. This is,
and
we
the,
have
and,
100. Is, go ahead, Bob.
And the way the premium is working is sending the book and providing the book costs Tracy $25. And so she's saying that anybody who wants it, when it was just the book offer, it was $50. But now, for an extra 10, you get a T-shirt. And so that basically, if you participate in this premium, that will put $25 in the Horn's coffer and defray all of Tracy's costs. And it's cool.
Actually, it'll put $30 in the Horn's coffer.
Oh, okay.
It'll put $30 in your coffer because I'm splitting that with you.
Oh, okay.
So
okay. Yeah. With the T-shirt, it's $30.
Mm-hmm. With the T-shirt, it's $30.
Exactly.
If you get the T-shirt. So, and people, the book is amazing. Everybody who sees it. Oh, by the way, thank you to those who have already pledged. Your books are on the way. I will email Bob with your tracking numbers.
Okay.
And you should have them by Wednesday. So thank you for those.
Anybody who takes us up on the offer, tonight's the 24-hour offer with the T-shirt, they'll get theirs like by Friday, right?
Yes. Absolutely. I will be at the post office tomorrow. Anybody that pledges today, I will be at the post office bright and early tomorrow morning because, hey, that's how I roll. And thank you for, stamps.com. So I don't actually have to go to the post office. I can print all that stuff at home, and they will pick it up for me, even better. But I got the postage ready and the envelopes ready. The only thing we need now are the orders.
And names to put on the labels.
But a quick thing, as Bob was saying, is about the civil rights struggle. It is also, like I said on Friday, the only thing I learned about my history growing up is that we were slaves, Lincoln freed us, and then there was Martin Luther King. There was nothing before, in between, or after, and we all know that. Anybody that listens to the Horns knows that is not fact. This book is 178 years of Black history. Of course, there's a lot more, but we focus from the Revolutionary War to the beginning of the Civil Rights Movement. We have the article about the Dred Scott decision, and Plessy v. Ferguson, about the Pullman Porter strike. It's just amazing. And on top of this, and like I said, these are actual bona fide. Did I say it right? Bona fide?
Yeah, you're bona fide.
Bona fide. Newspaper article. Bona fide. Now, actual bona fide newspaper articles from various newspapers from, like I said, 1778 to 1956. And it is just a wealth of information. As a matter of fact, Bob, when you get a chance, I want to send Dr. Bill his own copy.
Oh, nice.
If you could give me his mailing information, I'd appreciate that.
Well, it's the same. It's the same mailing information for the horn. But if you don't have that,
okay.
Yeah, I'll send it along.
Please, I don't have it. If you could send that, because I would be very excited to get his feedback on what he thinks. That would just tickle my tootsie, if it's possible for my tootsies to be tickled. But I just think that I would love to get his opinion on it. And let's see, that's about it. I wanted to call you guys about that, and now I'm going to just give me a snippet of what you were talking about this woman and her upgrade, because you're gonna, I'm not gonna be able to wait until the podcast, and you got to tell me what the hell are you talking about?
Okay, the condensed version. Right-wing communications director for a teabagger congressman who said congressman having argued that there are too many poor people out there eating too much food, and he wanted to cut food stamps. So his communications director took to social media on Thursday or maybe Friday. I think it was late Thursday to upbraid Sasha and Malia. Because, and it was slut-shaming is what it was. I just don't like to use that phrase, but it was. To upbraid Sasha and Malia because they stood there and kind of rolled their eyes at their dad during the turkey pardoning ceremony. And so she told them to act like they had a little class, rise to the occasion. And she said, but of course, you don't given who your mother and father are, you don't have much in the way of role models.
Oh!
Dress like you're members of the first family, not like you're looking for a seat at the bar. Uh-oh. Oh dear, it's the frustrated Tracy chuckle.
I had to pull over. I was driving. I just pulled over. Okay, I'm not even going to
Now, to be fair, you know, that's kind of an indictment of me, Tracy, because it just took me an hour to describe all of that, and I just condensed it in about 25 seconds.
That was 25 seconds enough.
Oh, but I left out the best part.
Oh, but wait, there's more.
So when she got caught, and people started calling her out on it, she retracted everything and said that she had done so because it took her, because she engaged in hours and hours of prayer. It took her hours and hours of prayer, Tracy, to realize she'd done something really filthy and sleazy.
She's right up there about the hours and hours of prayer. Remember the woman who called Janet and I an abomination?
Yes.
That's basically, she's like, you know, I prayed on this before. I said, bitch. Well, I didn't say bitch. I didn't want to give her that kind of ammunition. But, you know, you're praying on the fact, you prayed on something that you have insulted and
Right. But it took hours and hours of prayer for her God to explain to her. I guess it took hours and hours for God to explain to her just exactly how sleazy it was.
See, this is the kind of stuff.
Then again, you know, maybe it took hours and hours of prayer because, you know, Repiglick and teabagger types are just that dense. You have to explain things to them several times.
Several times before they even understand or realize that they are a canker sore on this, a paper cut on the side of my mouth.
There we go.
And I and I didn't realize that I had a paper cut until I drank lemonade or orange juice or something.
Ow.
Mm-hmm.
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 But the good part of the story is that she has resigned, because all of a sudden the internet got after her. And found things like pictures of her all drunked up at a party with the neck of a beer bottle halfway down her throat.
Beer bottle. See, you know, there's a lot of things that people will let you, you know, they'll get let you get away with. But see, now you're talking about children. And you don't talk about children. And on top of the fact, again, the level of disrespect. Of course, you know, I really didn't pay attention to the Bush daughters because, you know, they're, you know, like father like daughters. Now, didn't they have trouble with DUIs and all sorts of stuff while he was in office?
No, it was drinking underage.
But the fact that they were drinking underage. Did they get this level of disrespect? Did they have their saying, well, at least, hell, they were at the bar or whatever. You know, and when they people keep saying, yeah, we're not being racist, that's just, you know, it's just commentary.
Right.
Right. They said, the woman said to, now, I'm sorry, okay, my son is 26.
You're still struggling, aren't you?
He does, yeah. He, every so often, I'll say something, and he does the, oh, God, I roll. Oh, Mom, oh, God, I roll. That's what our kids do. Berg does that to you still, doesn't he?
A little bit.
Like when you'll say something, or you'll try to sing or do something that is just an embarrassment to be around, for them to be around you as a parent.
You know, mostly Ferg's gotten over it. But
mostly,
yeah.
Because
it's not but mostly it's because I try to live within my own role. So when we're out in public, I don't try to show my dance moves or anything, you know, because I'm terminally unhip now, and I never had any dance moves to go with it. But every now and then, just to keep in form. We'll be standing in the grocery line at up to the Wiggling Pig or whatever, and their Muzak will come on, and it'll be a 40-year-old song that I recognize and kind of dig, and I'll start dancing a little bit there in line, and he'll just bow his head and put his hands over his face and go, oh, God, Dad, come on, we're in public.
Dad, yeah. And I'll get that from my son, too.
Still?
So here's Sasha and Malia, and their father's doing his best to be a dad and funny and, you know, cool. And, you know, I did like the part about the amnesty, though.
Yeah, I thought that was a funny line.
I thought it was, I mean, because...
But you know, if he says... But they're at that stage where if he says, good morning, girls, they go, oh, Dad.
Oh, Dad.
Do you have to sound presidential at breakfast, too?
Right. And they're at that age. They're teenage girls. If they didn't do the eye roll and what have you, we would think, oh, God, robots, you know, that's what teenage girls do. Their very existence in life is to make their parents nuts. And just because they happen to be the daughter of the president, the daughters of the president of the United States, doesn't really matter. And what I like is the fact that they did do the eye roll. Because that means that they're real kids.
That means they're human.
They're human.
They're not the little Nixon bots.
Right, or the Reagan bots, or the bots out of bots. They're not perfect. They're beautiful teenage girls who's like, oh, Jesus, Dad. Look, I am grown. I am 48 years old, and my mother will say something, and I'm like, oh, God, really? Mom. For real? But that's what I'm allowed to do that because I'm her daughter. And Sasha and Malia are so you know, that is their right. That is their God-given right to do that, because that's what kids do to parents. And this bitch, what's her name? Now I got to look the bitch up. Now I got to go on the Institute web.
Elizabeth, it won't take long. Just use the hashtag on Twitter, Elizabeth Lauten, L-A-U-T-E-N.
L-A-U-T-A-N?
T-E-N, T-E-N.
Mm-hmm.
L-A-U-T-E-N, Elizabeth Lauten.
Bitch. This is the kind of shit. Oh, here we go. Look, I just started L-A-U-T-E.
And by the miracle of Google.
GOP staffer to resign. Oh.
Yeah, she did.
Resigning.
Yeah, she resigned.
Okay. GOP staffer to resign after slapping Obama girl. Let me see what this bitch looks like. See, this is why you have to be very careful. Because this is why I could not run for public office or anything like that, because I'm going to say what I'm going to say. I'll probably lose a lot more jobs every time I get hired to do something, and then I would say something. And it's like, she also said the who largely say out of the line, I should show a little class.
Very little.
When I first posted on Facebook, I reacted to an article, and I quickly judged the two.
And of course, I got to point something else to you out. Point out something else to you, because I can't have that preposition hanging out there at the end of the sentence. Our friend Carol Baker, News Ninja, has a new piece up over at Hear Women Talk, HEREWomenTalk.com, called Separating the Wheat from the Chaff. And as she points out, Elizabeth Lauten comes from a political party that thinks that family values are manifested by the Palins, who go and get involved in drunken brawls in the freezing Alaska night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, what tickles me, you know, about that the hypocrisy of the GOP, and how, okay, now, am I correct in thinking that Sarah Palin thought of Bristol? Did the bitch stop getting access without benefit of clergy?
Yeah. But okay. We gotta work through that real quick, because I think that's a troubling statement to become impregnated without benefit of clergy, because
it is a troubling statement. Because
mostly the clergy have not proven themselves interested in girls. They've proven themselves to be, you know, pedophiles, children, you know, not young women capable of conceiving. Little children, little boys, little girls. But beyond that, yes, Bristol, she was given that abstinence-only training of which the right wing is so fond, which is another way of saying training on how to rather quickly and without benefit of clergy become a parent.
Right. But see, here's my question, because now... Why is it okay? Didn't she go on this thing about the abstinence tour and stuff after she had the baby?
See, you're asking me to go into a swamp that I really try to stay out of and block from.
No. We got to go with this, because it's about that double standard. Because my question is, isn't that kind of like shutting? What is the saying? Closing the barn door after the horse gets out, or something? What is that?
Yeah, after the horse done gone. Yeah.
So Sasha and Malia, who were just rolling their eyes at their dad because their dad was trying to be, you know, funny or what have you, and they, you know, and on top of the fact they would have rather been someone anywhere else but there. They're thinking, do we really have to be here? That was the look. Not so much that about their dad, but the fact that they had to be there. To watch this.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was probably something they wanted to be doing.
Other than standing in front of a bunch of cameras. watching their dad go, you know, being, you know,
yeah.
Barack Obama.
Oh, and by the way, we have confirmation coming in from Carol. Yes, Bristol Palin did go on her abstinence-only tour after she became a born-again virgin.
Okay, so...
See, if a progressive or a liberal tried to do that, we would just spontaneously burst into flame from the sheer universal abhorrence of the hypocrisy of it all.
Right.
But you know what? The universe expects that of right wingers. Yeah. And by the way, a note came in while we were talking from Michael in Madison. Subject line: eye roll. If Sasha and Malia hadn't rolled their eyes, right wing assholes would be criticizing them for taking the turkey pardoning seriously. I could imagine a few very ugly yet predictable comments, but I can't bring myself to put them out into the universe, signed Michael, and my only response was, and the universe blesses you for your restraint.
And we thank you for that, Michael. Because he's right. It's a no. The President Obama is in a no-win situation. A little while ago, oh, somebody wants me to pick him up, yeah. A little while ago, there was a cartoon, and President Obama, this was like right in the Benghazi, with the Benghazi bullshit, and President Obama makes an announcement, I've just cured cancer, right? And they're yelling, this is a conspiracy, blah, you know, all these different talking heads. And then the last one screams out, Benghazi! You know, they wouldn't even give the man, somehow there would be some kind of a conspiracy if he came up with a cure for cancer.
Absolutely. I put it in other terms, over the course of the last several years. If Barack Obama was found to be rescuing a kitten from a tree, the Republicans would declare a war on kittens or mm-hmm. try to set fire to the tree.
Mm-hmm. It'll be just, it doesn't matter at this point.
Unfortunately, I'm adept at this, Tracy. Let's see. How about a headline over at that website that begins with night and fart, or rhymes with night and fart. Let's see. Obama say.
Isn't he dead?
Yeah. But it's become a repository for just awfulness. So there'd be a headline that says something like. Obama climbs trees while Ebola infects the world.
Right.
And the headline over at Smudge would be Obama stalks kitten on orders from ISIS. I don't think I've ever done that to you before, Tracy. I haven't heard one of those.
But you forgot Benghazi.
It would immediately become Catghazi.
Catghazi.
Just like the latest one. The latest one. You know the business about Mr. Groot. You know the latest one about Mr. Gruber, who offered some impolitic comments about the nature of the American body politic, which were immediately ascribed to having come directly from Barack Obama's mouth.
I missed that. What happened?
So there's an economist by the name of Gruber, and so
okay.
we'll type that. He's a Massachusetts Institute. He's an MIT economist, which means he has a really great, big, humongous brain that thinks about things bigger, further, better, deeper, whatever, than the rest of us do.
Okay.
Meanwhile, he's not. He doesn't hate children or anything. But he did say that back when he was working for Mitt Romney, when Mitt Romney was governor of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and they were putting together Romney Care, which was a good idea in Massachusetts until it wasn't. Well, when the Affordable Care Act passed, but he made a remark about the stupidity of American voters regarding how the Affordable Care Act was passed, and regarding you got the idea.
So
right wingers have been losing their mind over it for a couple of weeks now, and every time I've taken to responding to little right wing mentions to me periodically by just typing back Gruber Ghazi, because now everything has to end with Ghazi, Ebola Ghazi, Tansuit Ghazi.
What do we got to do, Bob? I was like, we were talking about on Friday how, you know, people have become fatalistic. They just don't, they have just like, I give up. And me being me. You know what I said? I'm like, look, if anybody has a right and reason to be fatalistic and to say, just fuck all this, I'm done, I do. Just from who I, what, how the body and the color and the gender I was born into. I should be just, you know, if I could afford to it, build a bomb shelter and just be done. But I refuse, because like, I know what it's like to give up. I had such horrible depression that I did not move for 5 years. I couldn't function. It was just that bad. But thank God for therapy and a damn good antidepressant, which the way things have been going lately for me, I haven't even really had to use it. I've been feeling so much better. But you cannot give up. You cannot let these crazy, if for any reason, any other reason, but to get on these assholes' nerves, if this is just to ruffle their feathers, just to say enough stuff, like you just to fuck with them. If nothing else, just to get up every morning and say, you know what? What can I do to make white winger.
No, that's what. Don't correct yourself. It's the white wing. I mean, really, with the exception of Herman Cain, Ben Carson, Mia Love, that guy in South Carolina, and you know,
two other guys. Isn't she the one that who's the black chick that just got elected?
Mia Love. Utah.
Okay.
Yeah, Utah Stan.
Isn't she a Mormon too? Is she a Mormon?
I'm thinking so.
Okay. So with the exception of those 10 people.
Yeah.
It's about 10 of them, right?
Yeah, it's a white wing, yeah.
If we get up every morning with just the thing, what can we do to fuck with their day? That should be enough just to get up every morning. But I think I told you about this, because every so often, though, you stop by my webpage, my Facebook page, and you'll like a comment that I've said or something. And there was this woman, and you know, I still don't even know how.
Wait, Tracy, I got to do this. old school DJ stuff, having actual physical sound effects in the studio. That is the that's Sparky's ancient cowbell. We have a great. I just really hope this really belongs to Carole Baker, because it is emblematic of her genius. Okay, so you're sitting in the cab on the side of the road, right?
Yes.
Okay, your foot's off the gas. Everything's in park. I mean,
I'm not going to run into.
You're not going to drive straight into a phone pole or anything when you hear this, right?
No.
Yeah. Mia Love equals Ethel Mormon. Ethel Mormon.
Ethel Mormon.
There's no business like Zion business, like no business. Never mind. I promise people I won't sing, and then I sing, and you know.
Carol. God bless you. But what I was saying is, if you...
You guys are fast forming, you guys are quickly forming a mutual fan club.
Yeah, I like her. But what I was thinking about was that this woman, like I said, I still don't even know how I friended her. I'm still trying to figure out how that happened, but in any event, definitely a Republican, you know, and it was friendly banter. Nothing mean, but every so often she would say something about what I would post about maybe Obamacare, whatever, and I would have a direct response that, I don't know, was based in fact, you know, about gay marriage and stuff like this. And so one day, she wrote on my Facebook page that because of the stuff that I post on my Facebook page, she has changed her way of thinking.
Yes?
That she, who, you know, especially about the Affordable Care Act, about the minimum wage, just all the stuff that I post when I do post, because I haven't really been posting that much other than about, you know, silly stuff. But when she thanked me, she's like, I have been so used to what I grew up listening to. And she's like, especially about black people.
Yeah.
I told her, you know, definitely like about, especially what's happening to, you know, young black men in our community. And how it's not so cut and dry what people think that things are, how things should happen, and just on and on and on. And she's like, and she didn't like do this huge, mea culpa, I apologize for the white, ooh, me and my W, damn list, the white race. But she's like, I have a whole new way of thinking. And she's like, and I thank you for that. And that right there. And so for all of us who are just have given up, don't. Because if I can reach one person, and it's just me, just think of all the different people that we can reach as a family. And if we change one person, each of us change what changes one person's mind, or their mindset, or their way they think, or I'm not saying that they become, you know, all of a sudden I'm a progressive, you know, they're turning them into progressive, tree-hugging, pinko commie liberals. No, I wouldn't be mad about that, but if they can start thinking in a different direction, if when they vote, they don't just vote because of what their party tells them to vote, if they actually do their own thinking, I don't care. Well, I do care in a sense, but I don't care how you vote as long as it's an informed vote, that you're not wasting and squandering that precious right that we have of voting because you're just going along party lines and you hate the black guy in office.
Well, that's pretty much the entire Republican Party platform right now.
Right, and that's the entire Republican Party platform. If the black guy likes it,
we're against
it. Don't vote for it.
We're against it.
Just don't vote. You're against it because he's the black guy. So obviously it's a terrible, terrible thing. And I love what you said about Friday about the fear mongering about how you have these people, you know, auto workers making $18 an hour. And instead of people saying, well, why aren't I making $18 an hour? You know, why aren't you paying me that kind of money? Why is it that the people at Costco can make X amount of dollars and they have nowhere near as many stores as Walmart? Why can't I make that kind of money? We're doing the same thing. What's wrong with, how come I don't deserve that kind of money? And then when people start questioning, it's like, wait a second. Why are you doing this to me? Why am I allowing myself to be bamboozled? Or what is it? You know, just why? When people start questioning and start asking why, oh my goodness, can you imagine what would happen if people actually start asking why? And why are you allowing, and saying to themselves, why am I allowing this to happen to myself? Like where you live in West Virginia, when the people in your state start saying, why am I allowing this shit? Why am I allowing Mitch McConnell and his ilk to decide whether or not I should be able to breathe?
And Joe Manchin and Shelley Moore Capito and GERT, Governor Earl Ray Tomlin.
Oh, that's right.
And,
I'm sorry, Manchin. I'm sorry. Yeah. He's in Kentucky. My bad. But the same people.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's no appreciable difference.
There's no difference. It's just for McConnell looks like a turtle.
Mm-hmm.
So when you when black folks back in the day said, I don't deserve to be treated this way. I'm an American. And I have the right to be an American. I have the right to go eat and sit down where I want to sit down. This is one of those things, like during when Prop 8 passed in California, and people got mad. Oh, I don't know if I ever told you about, well, this is before we even got started talking, so no, I didn't. But when Prop 8 passed here in California, and before it passed, I attributed Prop 8 to Jim Crow law. Ooh, did I get yelled at? I said, what is the difference? I said, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, and all of them, and there and before, paid taxes, did everything they were supposed to do, and got treated less than human. Their kids didn't go to the library that their tax dollars helped build. Their kids couldn't go, or them could not go into the pool that their tax dollars helped build, and et cetera, and so on and so forth, keep going with the taxes and stuff. So what's the difference that my tax dollars are going to something, you know, this is, like I said, this is before I even met Jen, but before Jen became a couple. So what's the difference between Jen and I are paying taxes? Well, no, I'm sorry. Any of my friends who are gay are paying their taxes. They're paying in all this. Why is it that they can't get married? What's the difference? Boy, did I get yelled at on that one.
Oh, I can imagine.
But I don't care. Because it's only what's fair is fair. I want equal protection. And it's even funnier now because, of course, back then in 2007, 2008, never even a million years would I have thought that I was going to be with a woman. So for me to have been fighting for gay rights then, it was just because, and I wasn't gay. So, but I know what it's like to be discriminated against. I was born a black woman. I came out the gate ready to be discriminated against. It's like, oh, black child. And then since I came out butt first, they didn't know what I was until they unfolded me. And like I told a friend of mine, you know, been telling people to kiss my ass since July 21st, 1966, came out ass first. That's how the world saw. First glance of Tracy Michelle Porter was her ass. So come on. So, you know, keeping it real since July 21st, 1966. But just the fact that people, I just want fair. I just want a fair chance. That's all. And that's all anybody wants. Yes, we still need affirmative action because, let's face it, people are stupid. And so, you know, we have to have affirmative action. Because if we don't, you know, but then again, we still have to have equality in this country. Have you seen this thing called, diet racist?
No, what?
Oh, it's hilarious. It's a clip. And I just go on. In, I guess you can look on my Facebook page, but I bet you if you Google diet racism, it is hilarious. They said for all of those who, you know, don't think you're racist and you just come 1 minute short of saying the N-word.
You mean one of the, yeah. The sheriff's near.
Yeah, the sheriff is near. Are you saying the sheriff is near? No, the sheriff.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
But anyway, but there's this one chick that says my kids would be able to go to college if it wasn't for their kids. And then the guy underneath said, you know, forgetting that these black people have to be escorted by the National Guard in order to go to school.
Right. Yeah.
Right. It's these little things that people, they don't get it. And again, I don't know a lot about, you know, gay history because, again, I'm still learning. But, you know, there's just so many things that I just think about why people are just, as my SOS, stuck on stupid. They are so entrenched and so worried about somebody getting a little bit more than they will when we're all just trying to survive. Nobody is going to get any more than anybody else has because they ain't shit to get. They're so worried about. One someone that told me, we were talking about Medicare and how it was eventually supposed to roll out to everybody in the country, but then the Republicans were so worried that black people would get Medi-Cal.
Medicaid. The expansion of Medicaid within the Affordable Care Act. The rats on the Supreme Court could tolerate maybe part of that as long as they got to call it a tax. Yeah.
See, right. That one done raised your taxes,
as long as we could say that. But what was intolerable was the nationwide expansion of Medicaid so that people who, you know, had something more than a cardboard box to live in could have access to it, because that was the real threat. It represented a nationwide expansion of a universal single-payer system.
Again, people, I understand how we give up and it's just overwhelmingly tiring and stuff, but we can't. And we have to keep talking. We have to keep posting stuff on our Facebook pages. We have to keep posting stuff on our Twitter feeds and whatnot, whatever it takes. Because like I said, if I can have this woman who I've never met but has been reading all my posts over the last 2 years tell me that she has been is rethinking the way she is, changing her whole, the way she thinks, that's just one person. And then hopefully she's talking to her friends who I guarantee you are, you know, Republicans or whatnot. And I'm just saying, we can't give up. We cannot give up. I look at when you, like you, for example, Bob, just the fact that you get up every day, except for you, like when you're in Washington, D.C. or what have you, and you do the, you sit and do this show 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. And you're not getting paid to do this, but you're doing this because you're an American and you love this country and you want to see, you know what we're capable of as Americans, and you want to, you just want the best for this country. You want the best for your kids and your grandkids and eventually maybe your great grandkids. So we can't give up. We cannot keep posted on Twitter. Keep calling into the show. Do what you have. Do what these little things. I believe that it'll help. I don't know. Maybe I'm just an idealistic person, but I mean, am I wrong? Am I so off? Am I that off base?
No.
Idealist.
Nope. A little more idealism, and we might fix this country.
Yeah, and see, and I'm because my wife Scott Lover, and she can be such a pessimist. She could be so pessimistic. And I just said, baby, if nothing else, if you don't think of nothing else about how lucky you are, you were born a white woman.
Oh. Wow. You played that card in a hurry.
Oh, but that's what I said. Look, you were born a white woman. Take full advantage of that. And don't feel bad. I said, you don't. She said, well, I said, no. Don't feel bad about being white. What you feel, only thing I told her about feeling bad about is that you don't have to acknowledge your privilege of being white. Because trust me, until we became a couple, she never would have in a million years ever thought about acknowledging. And she never even, because she never even, it was not something she ever thought about. Because she didn't have to think about that. Right? So for me to say it and then for her to acknowledge it, that's huge, too. The acknowledging of your privilege. I think we said this on Friday. If more people who have privilege, not only just, it's one thing to acknowledge your privilege in the privacy of your own home and amongst a group of your same privileged friends or a couple of your black friends, but not only to acknowledge the privilege of who you are being a white person, but to acknowledge, not only acknowledge that privilege, but then tell other people, especially like when people say shit, racist mess about our president or anybody and say, not cool or whatever. When we have to come to the terms with the fact that people of a certain race and a certain gender, and like you said, just because you're a white guy, you don't have a lot of privilege because of your financial circumstance, but you still have more privilege than I do. But we need those people who have that privilege and not only have the privilege but have the money and the power and stuff to say, okay, yes, I worked hard to get what I have and whatnot and so forth, but hey, let's acknowledge that I have a heads up, and so I need to make sure that other people who don't have their heads up or that way up or whatever, I need to put my hand down and bring other people up with me. Am I still being too idealistic?
No, you're okay. You're okay.
Because I could, like I said, I can scream and holler about, the race car, about white privilege and everything like that, which, of course, I scream and holler about on a regular basis. But then, of course, it'll be looking at me like, oh, well, she's just, she's black. And she's just angry. And she's, well, of course, yes, I'm black, and yes, I am angry. But they use that as an excuse not to do right by people who look like me or who don't look like them. And so until certain people, like I said on Friday, until people, if one person had gotten up, who was that idiot that President Obama was addressing Congress, and he stood up and said, "You lie, sir." Who was that?
Oh, that was Joe Wilson from South Carolina, Stan.
Okay. Now, what should have happened, instead of somebody in here, like the audible gasp, somebody from the Democratic Party, somebody should have stood up and said, "No, that is not how you address the President of the United States of America." And every time somebody says Obama instead of President Obama, somebody needs to say, that is not how you address the President of these United States.
Yeah, but I got to be careful about that because how many times do I simply refer to George W. Bush as dim leader?
But still, if you do it in such a way, would you have done that if you were elected member of Congress? Would you have done
that? Oh, no.
That's my point. Of course, we said, you know, like I said, George Bush was a fucking idiot.
Well, see, and see, we have just swung wide the barn door on why this is a little bit problematic. I mean, goodness gracious, the so-called left in this country may very well hate Barack Obama more than the white wing does.
Yep.
And you know me, look, I've said it a million times. I'll probably have to say it a million more. This is not the Defense of Barack Obama Network.
No, it is not.
Because he has done a million and one things that annoy the bejesus out of me. Witness Ron's observation earlier this evening that Barack Obama has just about pardoned more turkeys than he has human beings.
Exactly.
But every now and then, he does get to try to sneak an idea through.
Every now and again. He tries. But he can only do so much. And I am no Obama apologist. No, I am not.
No, I just, I think any issues you have should be at least somewhat substantive and not based upon the fact that you object to his skin color.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can say
if
that.
If you have a problem, like you said, if you have an objection to, I want to know why. I want a detailed reason why it's because of this, this, and this, and your own thoughts, not because you went on, you know, whatever website or listened to Beck or whatever asshole of the day. It's your reasoning, your idea as to why you don't like our president.
Yeah, understood.
Or what's wrong with as to why you have an issue with his policies or that how he is running this country. And so, and when I come at it that way, people get really mad at me.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey Tracy, I got to roll. I want to roll. Yeah, I got to roll because I want to make sure that other people get in here. And
I was just supposed to call about the T-shirts. I wasn't even supposed to.
Well, but you know that's us. That's us. I mean, that's conversation radio, right?
Right.
And the thing about conversation radio is it engenders further conversation.
Patient, absolutely. Well, it was as always a pleasure. Okay, Horns family, 24 hours. I want to wake up tomorrow morning. With bunch of shirt orders and bunch of books orders or whatever. We need this money, y'all. Quit playing.
There we go. All right. See you, Tracy.
Thank you, Bob. You guys have a great rest of the evening.
Will do. You drive careful now. You hear?
Always.
All right.
You're here? Bye. Yeah,
bye now. Tracy, the lady cab driver, calling from L.A. Let's do keep things rolling. We have someone who has been very patiently waiting on the Gizmo line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you great. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I'm just asking. I got this. I figured I was old enough to get a Bluetooth since I'm halfway done. I won't have to worry about brain cancer.
Now, wait. I'm going to get a note from Ron saying you're stepping on his gig. Only Ron gets to do the Bob, Bob, Bob.
I'm sorry. It's just guttural. It just came from, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
First of all, I haven't talked to you since the election. Well, anyway, this is Todd in South Carolina. Okay, so I'm in South Carolina.
Yeah, I know, Todd. I recognize your voice, yeah.
Oh, okay. So... anyway, I was totally disgusted. And now I understand why the hell you were so despondent about you know, your election coming up. What the fuck? I mean, what is wrong with Joe Manchin? What the hell? You know, what's that phrase, you know, with friends like that, you don't need any enemies? What the hell is that shit about?
Well, for me, the phrase is, why don't you go ahead and just become the Republican you are? That's the phrase I've been using.
Oh, he's, you know, he's not worth the air that he breathes in the air. I don't even know what the hell he does. But it's disgusting. But yeah, it is this what's this chick's name again? Lampson or the woman who made the critique on her private Twitter about the children in the White House.
Oh, she put it out there for God and everybody to see. No, there wasn't anything private about it. You're talking about Elizabeth Loudon.
Loudon, right. See, this, I didn't understand this. I've been here now for like 6 years, maybe. So I can understand this now. See, they still have this planter class mentality here. So, I firmly believe what's going to happen is that the narrative from this is that she's going to be the tormented, white woman because she spoke her mind about the Obamas, and she's going to end up in a nice position somewhere.
Oh yeah, and somewhere I'm sure it's already out there. I don't have to look to find out. I can just kind of, you know, use my magic Sith powers or whatever, and predict right wing behavior. I'm sure in some corners she is being lionized as a persecuted member of people who are destroyed by the politics of personal destruction for using her First Amendment rights and speaking truth, right? I mean, that's about how it plays, doesn't it?
That's exactly.
I mean, you know, I'd be surprised if it doesn't wind up with her having a gig on Fox. I mean, they're running out of places to put people in, aren't they?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they're like a baseball team, you know, when the arm gets sore, they put it on ice and they rotate them in and out or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and by the way, for clarification, as Carol Baker points out, she posted that on her boss, Representative Stephen Fincher's Facebook page.
Oh, the filter. Oh, okay. Yeah, here we go.
Whatever.
Oh, Carol's wonderful. She's such a fine human being. I don't know what to say. If anybody has not heard Carol's narrative from when she was on the ground in Ferguson, I very rarely cry, and I cried. You know, when she was over there, I guess it was in maybe late August, early September. I don't know, somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
No, that was kind of the beginning of our friendship, and it just... She just knocked my socks off.
She's as they say down here, she's touched in a good way. Well, so listen, this Obama derangement syndrome. I liken it to. I'm old enough to remember when Reagan came in and the racism came back like literally within 5 weeks. You know, it was just like totally different night and day. And I say that in that when Obama got elected, I firmly believe a lot of the racist, you know, folks, Caucasian folks, they felt like black people were just going to start acting crazy and, you know, and doing whatever, you know, like because they think they own everything and, you know. I mean, I don't know. I've just been around so many different types of people. That's what I think. I could be wrong, but I think that that's what this resentment, you know, this whole thing is just ridiculous. Man, how are you talking about somebody's goddamn children? What the fuck is wrong with you?
And it obtains, you know, because we worship here daily at the altar of the goddess of irony, Todd, it partakes of a certain added piquancy. When you go and look at her Twitter account and it says, love God, and, you know, God in all capitals, of course.
Well, yeah, guess what? So the Klan was all into Christianity and God, too, right?
There's a reason they use crosses.
Folks who haven't been to South Carolina, they might not understand. This is like, you don't hear it on the news, but this is Tea Party Central. This is the most important.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, your South Carolina stan, your Oklahoma stan, your Texas stan, you know, I'd say you get some pretty good rabidness from Alabama stan, but yeah, I mean, it's the reason it is, Todd, is because the roots of that toxic shrub are about 900 miles deep into the soil of South Carolina and have been there for, you know, 200-300 years. I mean, there the taproot of the thing that was what leveraged by the teabaggers has a long history, and it's just and you know, and that's why it's not a new thing. It's just another outlet.
You see, Bob, this is why I love you. This is why I love you, because you and your minions, all right, Dr. Bill, all right, like I remember a few weeks ago, maybe 2.5, 3 weeks ago. Well, let me back up. First of all, I had to start listening to him from the beginning, like the prison stuff. I've got a checklist. I made a spreadsheet. I'm a nerd. I made a spreadsheet. I could cross off the episodes I've heard. But then I had to start from the front a couple times because of the current events. But yeah, he had a very interesting episode where he segued the way the people do not vote for their best interests now and juxtaposed that to this book by a man named Helper, wrote, 1830s, 1840s, something like that, where he was basically explaining to the white folks in the South, you know, slavery's bad for you too. You know, because you're always going to be poor, but at least you're not a nigger. You know. Do you know the episode I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. And all I can tell you is, if you're in catch-up mode, whenever it is that you get around to today, and what's going to be going on this week, I don't know. Just get a cold towel and drape it around your neck or something, because. You're just going to be, you know, kind of blotting at your head with it. What he did today, the 2 hours of radio that Dr. Bill did today, I jumped on Twitter long enough to say there is nobody working in that time slot, and I dare say nobody working in radio at all.
I very rarely listen. I listen to the backup episodes, but I heard him live today, and I mean, I'm. That man, listen, he bared his soul today. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
how many people out there hustling Buy Gold Now and vacuum cleaners that pick up bowling balls and all that business? How many of them have the courage that Dr. Bill displayed today?
Listen, he has more courage than all those Congress critters that we have right now. Period.
Yep.
Because they know damn well that they're prostitutes and they get paid. But that man is like, look. And, you know, he sounds like he's a Southie. You know, the blue up in South, I don't know, maybe I'm thinking South Boston. I know some folks up there. You know, and if people don't know, South Boston is like South Philly. It's like really hardcore white working class. Like, you know, you may never get out of here. This is what you're going to be.
Tough.
Like, that type of area.
Yeah.
And when he started talking about, like, I don't know, you know, you don't know what fork to use, and they set him up, and I mean, like, oh, I can't.
Oh
wait.
No, there were a couple of times today I was on the verge of tears.
Man,
and to wrap all of that up, and this is toward the end of the 2 hours, to wrap all of that up into what is the beginning of an examination of the elitist underpinnings of the formation of this country. Ho!
Well, see, I tried to call in because I had all this stuff floating around in my mind. You know, my father's a historian. My mother's a professor. Well, she's retired. She's a professor, retired. But I remembered all these history classes I had, and I had this one jackass, and he was the chairman of the department. And you could not pass his class unless your last essay said that slavery was not the root of the Civil War. And I was looking at this dude like, all right, man, you know what? You're out of your fucking mind. But whatever. I'm going to have to pass this class. I'm going to write what you want me to write. Fuck you. You know, because it ain't, you know, it's faith life, but it's not. But let me get back to Dr. Gold. I kept thinking, I don't know if it was me or not. It's like, okay, so he was explaining it. In my mind, it kind of hit like, well, we've had this elitist versus non-elitist bubble through a whole period, but at the same time, is he saying that we need to have a micro check and balance, like on every at every level, because you've got people who cannot, everybody thinks they can't, other person can't be trusted to make good decisions because they've been biased at the work. So that set me on another tangent. You know, but like, and I'm going to say one thing, like with Ferguson, see, folks don't understand, if you're a black person, when you see the police, you go the other fucking way. You go the other way, because no good can come of that interaction. Period. If you're a black man, no good can come of it. When you see the police, especially at night, hell no. You go the other way. That's why I say there's no way that boy was reaching for that cop's gun. That's unheard of. Who the fuck does that? That's crazy.
Well, you know, it was because he was high because he had recently injected one of those marijuana doobie joints.
Don't get me started on that shit, please.
Sorry. Let me just take a moment here and point out a couple of things, Todd. One note coming
in. Piss me off, man. I'm telling you, do not piss me the fuck off.
I know. You just got a note from Carol. She said, please convey to Todd my heartfelt appreciation of his kind words. It matters. And it does.
Thank you. She called me down. All right.
Okay. Secondly, you know, it's a week now, at least, that I have been saying time and time and time and time again, Todd, that I'm pretty well sick and tired of hearing these multimillionaire TV experts declare, well, the grand jury has spoken. The state of Missouri will not, blah, blah, will not prosecute Darren Wilson. Blah, 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 blah. The grand jury has spoken. You know, as if that corrupt, dummied up, ginned up, faked up, frauded up, rubed up grand jury was Oz the Great and Goddamn Terrible. Oz has spoken. Now go away. No. And it astonishes me because, you know, there are publications that I respect and a lot of networks and for-profit media that I don't. And so, you know, I had to go down and get blood work done today. So once again, I walk into my local Not a Doc box and there's Fox News playing at, you know, 8:30 in the freaking morning. And I'm thinking, you know, I can't.
They did that shit again? What the fuck is that problem? They did that shit again.
Oh, no. And, you know, I walked into the examining room to get my blood drawn. And there's that goddamn cartoon hanging on the wall about, you know, with the mortuary and Ask President Obama, you know, death panels and all of that.
Oh, God.
And you know, I've gotten to where I dread walking in the place. Because just driving the 2 miles down there, I feel my blood pressure going, beep, 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 right? But anyway, and I heard that this morning. Well, now that the grand jury has spoken, you know, what will those people do? And, of course, there was some more, black shaming going on. And then, but it gets worse because I come home and I see this news story, this story published in Mother Jones. Mother Jones, what? Mojo, saying, now that the grand jury has spoken and there will be no prosecution. And I'm like, God almighty, please.
No, that person who read that article must be a tool. I'm telling you.
No. It was a straight article, and it was about a right thing. I posted it on my Facebook page. It was about all the inconsistencies in the witness testimony, and, you know, basically pointing to the way that the grand jury process had been deliberately manipulated by a prosecution that was serving as Darren Wilson's defense. And I'm down with all of that. Okay. But that one statement, Todd, of now that the grand jury has spoken, as if there can only be one presentment. You know, God, maybe I'm overreacting, but it's just making me batshit crazy. Because, well, I mean, okay, I can live with it. I can live with it if there's not going to be a grand jury presentment, another one. If there's not going to be a special prosecutor. Okay, I can live with that. Michael Brown can't. Michael Brown is dead, and there will be no justice. So, but anyway, if that's what it's going to be, that's what it's going to be. But I can't stand this idea that people who should know better are out there saying, well, there can never be another grand jury presentment. Because the job of media, the job of journalism is to, you know, work in the realm of fact. And the fact
is.
Oh my God, I'm smacking my own hands now, hollering. I'm sorry, Todd.
But
the fact is, it is not precluded. The fact is that with sufficient pressure, you know, say 100,000 people gathered around the governor's mansion in Missouri, staying there, you know, till hell freezes over, or until a special prosecutor is appointed. The fact is, a special prosecutor can be appointed. The case can be reheard. It can be presented properly. It can be presented without the prosecution behaving as Darren Wilson's goddamn defense, and an indictment might well result.
Exactly.
When it's filtered all the way to Mother Jones that the grand jury has spoken, I kick furniture.
You know, it's really sad. And you know, when I woke up this morning, and I'll be honest with you, ever since this incident happened, I've been an avid reader of the online St. Louis Times Dispatch. And if anyone, hello, Horn family, if anyone, you and your extended family, if you do not believe racism is alive and well, all you have to do is read the fucking comments to anything that has to do with the Michael Brown case.
Oh,
when you read,
there is an army of trolls out there on anything related to Michael Brown that makes that horde of orcs in the upcoming Hobbit movie look like a Hope and Crosby road film.
Where do these people live?
Brother Albert, the sage of Southwest Wisconsin, would simply reply, Nicola Post, Bob, Nicola Post. Coming from that story several years ago, noting that the right wing was out there paying trolls a nickel a post.
But, all right, so Bob, listen, we have to look, we both understand what we're saying. We're talking to the choir in a way. But this is what I'm concerned about, as you love to use the phrase, the for-profit media. This is what I'm concerned about. There is a very large segment of this population that either does not have the time, the inclination, the intellectual tools or the electronic tools to actually view, process, and assimilate real news, okay? So when they watch the ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, they're like, oh, I have a news, you know, blah, blah, blah.
By the way, why is there not more of a firestorm out there over what we know now was a goddamn bidding war over the interview with Darren Wilson? You know that, right?
Because
remember how the story came out that and everybody went, what? I just kind of kept my counsel, and I shouldn't have. But there was that announcement that Darren Wilson has been talking to Brian Wilson of NBC or Brian Williams of NBC, and he's been talking to ABC, blah 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 blah. And I'm sitting there going, well, of course he has. He's shopping his interview. And so yes, it turns out. That it is highly likely that ABC paid somewhere in the $300,000 to $500,000 range for that fucking interview. Okay?
Listen,
you know, hint, when you have to pay for interviews, it isn't journalism anymore.
The gold bug has bitten him, and the gold bug has bitten the for-profit media. Okay? And of course, you know, he married his girlfriend now because, I mean, he's wealthy. And I like the email I sent you, you know, according to Daily Coast, McCullough was on the board and maybe the president of that Backstoppers organization and was personally responsible for him helping raise like $400,000. Okay. At the same time, he's supposed to be a prosecutor. So anyway, Darren Wilson's a wealthy man
He may not be that wealthy because, remember, the lawyer probably got a third.
Right. Okay. That's fine. But he's got bitten by the bug. He knows he can get the money out of this man. And he's going to need it. I don't even think he's safe in Mexico. I don't think anybody wants to be bothered with this dumb man. I mean, the only place he can go is Idaho and sit up there with Mark Furman somewhere. That's where the fuck he needs to go. You know? It's absolutely disgusting. But see, and you know, this is, let me say this before I get off on another tangent. And I've been contemplating this as a black man for quite a while. And I've had one good good encounter with law enforcement, and all the rest have been very negative. And most law enforcement that you meet, and I'm a highly educated person, you know, somewhat.
It's fairly obvious, yes.
Now, most policemen are not. And now you got these cops, they're coming back from the wars, Iraq, Afghanistan, and a lot of them are on medication. A lot of them are trigger happy, you know, and they already maybe were a little bit broken or really poor, weren't that exposed, because that's why you join the military. You know, some little dumbass town, you don't have any prospects, and like, well, I got to join the Army. Not because you want to, because you have to, unless you want to be homeless. So you go over there, you get training, you come back, and it's like, oh, now I can shoot people. So, but my point is that when you look at a bell curve, okay, and I don't mean bell curve like terror.
No, I know.
I don't mean it in that way. But I mean the accepted terms now are what's called exceptional. And exceptional can mean you're like retarded, or it can mean you're very bright. And it's the tail end. So it's like the 3% and then half, you know, the very tail end. So we're asking a lot of law enforcement, and they have a hard job. I wouldn't want to do it. We're asking very unexceptional people to perform a very exceptional job. Okay? And at the same time, if you're too bright, they don't want to hire you. So where does that leave us?
Yeah. Well, I mean, is this where we break out all Don Rumsfeld and say, you police with the police force you have, not the police force you want?
Well, you know what? If that's the case, then I'm just ordering all my shit for Amazon. I'm never leaving the house. Fuck. You know, because it's not, I don't even go out at night anymore. I don't go out at night around here. Only reason I go out at night if I have
Okay. So let me put something out there for your consideration. And, you know, let's remember, I am very nearly the whitest man in America. I mean, I burn under the refrigerator light bulb, okay? There's, you know, I mean, I'm light. And, you know, so are my kids, and so is my family. So last night, Ferg and I were out, and we pulled up at a red light, and he just looks over, and there's this semi-tractor trailer, and he just kind of, you know, waves, you know, just howdy, you know, because we're friendly that way. We're hillbillies. Howdy. And you know what my immediate response was, Todd? And this is why, even within the framework of my white privilege, my white male privilege, even within that framework, I think I can maybe touch on a molecule of what goes on if one is a person of color. Because in my mind, I'm aware of what this America is. Okay, by way of a bit of a diversion, last I checked, and Tim from L.A. put me onto the story. There's a manhunt going on up in Morgantown, West Virginia, which is the home of my alma mater, West Virginia University. The manhunt going on today for a guy who took his freedom protector and went and blew away his ex-girlfriend, and I guess the guy that she had decided to have a relationship with, and then blew away a guy who was competition for him in the towing business, and then shot somebody else, and there's a manhunt on.
Wow.
Okay. And so that kind of blows my mind. But it's, you know, it's just America. You know, I got, let's see, a guy in Florida. I got another story here. A guy in Florida was arrested after police found him having shot, stabbed, and then shot with a bow and arrow his mama. Okay? When he gave his reasons for why, in the arrest report, it says the guy says, he points at his mama and says, "You see that? That's death." And then when they said, "Well, why'd you kill your mama?" He said, "Because she's going to kill me first. And then I shot her in the head 3 times. And I stabbed her with a knife, and I shot her with a bow and arrow." I mean, when they got there, the arrows were sticking out of her head, all right? And then he said, I killed her because she stole my diamonds, and she gave my daddy cancer. And yet, dude has access to knives, bows and arrows, and guns in America. But anyway, so that's the kind of stuff I got swirling around in my busy, busy, busy little brain. All the time. So, you know, Ferg just waves at the trucker, and I'm like, don't do that, son.
Well, why not?
I said, because
dude
might have a .44 Magnum with a 9-inch barrel and reach down and shoot you point blank with it. This is America. This is 2014. We got guns all over the place, and everything is a threat to a nation that is scared out of its wits.
You got that right, brother.
And most of the people scared out of their wits are white people.
Yeah.
And so I think, I mean, you know, because, and I thought of this when you mentioned, you know, I'll just stay home and order everything from Amazon. It's not a sentiment that is, alien to me. Because I live in a world where people now take guns to go and buy a lottery ticket, where people pack a firearm on their hip to go and get a jug of milk and a loaf of bread down at the Wiggling Pig. And it just, well, if previous generations saw that, I mean, I know, my mom and dad, if they had seen that in the grocery store, by the time they got back to the Chrysler, they'd have been looking at each other, well, Kenneth, what in the Sam Hill was he doing? But now that generation's gone, and we just look up and go, well, he's protecting freedom because, you know, anything can happen anytime, and, you know, the race war may start.
When I first used to visit here in the 80s, there was a video store about a half a mile, like, oh, God, I remember it was the first time I saw the Wiggling Pig. I was like, this can't be real. Like, this supermarket is called Piggly Wiggly? Are you fucking serious? Do you expect a grown person to say that shit? Anyway.
Well, that's why I call it the Wiggling Pig.
Yeah, it's so silly. And they have there is a whole wall of fat. A whole wall. I mean, when I say wall, it's like maybe 200 feet long. It's all fat.
All what? All what, Todd?
Fat.
I ain't getting you. Spell it.
F-A-T-B-A-C-K. Bock.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got it. Okay. Because my Wiggling Pig has an entire aisle of ramen noodles.
Well, yeah, they have that too. But
you got your ordinary ramen noodles that are 4 packs for a dollar, and then you got your fancy ramen that might go up as high as $1.69 a bowl, but it's got the flavor boost packet.
Yeah, man. I think I had too much of that in college. I keep some in the house just for like an emergency or something, but I might vomit if I eat any more.
Well, we get down to the ramen toward the end of the month usually. It's just, and yeah, every time I eat it, I'll be sick later. I'll hate myself.
Hey, man, I hope you can get a gallbladder soon. I really do.
That's interesting. I was reading on that. I don't think my gallbladder's an issue. No, it turns out that the medication I've been taking for freaking years to deal with triglycerides has an ugly habit of causing that entire neck of the woods down in your belly to just go insane. So...
Yeah. Is that a statin? That's a statin drug, isn't it?
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's a different family that is designed specifically to deal with triglycerides and not so much cholesterol.
Okay.
And I'm taking the max dosage.
Because
10,000-20,000 years ago, being able to generate triglycerides on a hard look was an evolutionary survival skill. It's probably why I'm here because my ancestors started out, you know, we're part of that group of people that were so awful and so mean and so hateful, nobody wanted them until we got shoved all the way up next to the Arctic Circle and turned all white because there wasn't any goddamn sunlight. And that's where, and then we learned to be civilized, which is why the most civilized part of the planet now is probably Scandinavia. But then we got to pining and hankering for a little bit warmer weather, and we got on a boat and we went to Scotland, where we decided to start. And lo and behold, you know what? An extra 2-3 hours of sunlight a day, and we're behaving like assholes all over again. And then eventually we wind up here, and, well, you know, I can't so much as look at a saltine without having my triglycerides go up.
See, you know what? If everybody has fresh baked bread, can you hear me okay now? I don't know if
I'm... Oh, yeah. You're good. You're good.
That was the first time I talked to you, I was making bread. I made French bread tonight, and I wish I could share it with everybody, because I was feeling artistic, and I even put some bran flakes in it, right, you know, when it was getting the dough ball was just right. Oh, my God. All I just put just warm butter on it, you know, room temperature butter that I keep out. So I was supposed to have some for my company, but they're not going to see any of this. I'm going to have to eat this whole thing. It's too bad. But anyway, I'm sharing with the whole family. I'll you're my thoughts. But, yeah, it's so sad. I just, like this dumbass governor in the state. And why is she turning down? I'm going off in a tangent. She turned down all this health care.
Why is she turning down free money? How do you get to turn down free money and still get to be a Republican? Because
our money. That's our tax money. It's going to another state. Our money.
Right.
See, that's.
And see, there are Republican governors like old Hatchet Face Jan Brewer out in Arizona. She's like, free money? Yeah, I want some free money. You know, straight out of Idiocracy. I like money.
Well, you know what? I'm more off on another change. But anyway, what I don't hear enough about the health care bill, the way I look at it, we all know it should have been single payer from the beginning, but they had to make compromises, whatever. But they don't play up the big positives. The three big positives are that, I mean, I know maybe some people have to pay more or whatever, but your children can stay on your plan till they're 26 or whatever like that. There's pre-existing conditions. That's a big fucking deal. That's a big deal. You know?
Well, yeah, it is. And how are these Republicans who were elected this a couple of weeks ago, how are these Republicans going to explain that they want to get rid of that? Because, see, I take this stuff personally, Todd, because that's my health care they're coming after. And I got to go to a neurosurgeon on Wednesday and find out if I'm going to get my neck cut open and who knows what will happen after that.
Oh, God. I hope not.
Well, I mean, I got to go. I mean, I just do. And I'm thrilled to have the coverage to be able to do it, because you know it hurts like hell.
Okay. Well.
Which reminds me, yeah, there may not be a program Wednesday, depending on how long it takes me to get back from Charleston.
Well, and you'll be fine, and at least we know that 80% of your services will be straight for the medical, and only 20% will go to administrative.
Bingo. Which
now, I don't know how to turn, but. What's the term for that? I don't know what the term is.
What, administrative overhead?
Yeah, but I think there's some kind of jargon they have in the bill. But I don't hear the for-profit media, you know, talking to me. It's just a fact. It's not like you like this or you like that. It's a fact. Listen, you're going to be fine because we need you.
Oh, I'm, now, yeah, no, I mean... look, if he just looks at me and gets that little steely-eyed gleam in his eye and says, "I need to cut on you," you know, I'll be saying, "Yeah, that's great, Doc. Thanks a lot. Yeah, Happy Christmas, Merry New Year." I hear my mother calling, and I'll be out the door. And I'll get a second opinion, whatever it is, you know, whatever the circumstances are. But you know, I mean, who knows? Maybe we can fix this with physical therapy. But it hurts real bad, and there's a headache all the time, and when I move my neck, it sounds like somebody's dumping out a wheelbarrow full of gravel.
It sounds like a virus or something, some kind of spirochete in your spinal column.
No. It's a couple of totally trash discs with a bunch of garbage banging around on next to them.
Oh.
You know.
Okay.
I had a story in the stacks. I tweeted it yesterday. Broke my heart when I saw the story come across from the New York Times that a missing member of the Ohio State University football team had been found dead in
a dumpster.
Yeah, in a dumpster. and probably a self-inflicted wound, and quite possibly as a result of a number of head injuries. And, of course, because he's been playing football probably since he was 4 years old. I mean, that's how early we start little boys and little girls now, too, playing football.
No, I've never been a fan of that Pop Warner League where you got these. How can that be good? I mean, that's a five common sense. You can't have your kids running around and their brains are still forming and they're getting.
Well, but they do. But you know what? Their brains are still forming in middle school when they're banging into each other, and they're still forming in high school when they're banging into each other. And frankly, they're still forming. We know now. I mean, you know, part of the reason that young people are as bad at drivers as they are is because we know now that their brains don't stop wiring themselves till they're about 26. And so, yeah, I mean, I was a terrible football player, but you know, I hit that blocking sled, and I was on the practice squad. I was on the scout squad, and you know, the first teamers used to routinely just knock the slobber out of me. And I tried to give a little as good, but I wasn't any good, but I practiced real hard. And, you know, two or three car wrecks over the course of a lifetime. And, you know, the next thing you know, you're going, man, this hurts. And they do the MRI, and you try not to fart in the MRI because that's really not cool. And then I explained what went down. They make a nervous wreck out of you, and you're worrying all weekend long. And they go, no, you're going to go see the neurosurgeon because, you know, it looks like somebody dumped a wheelbarrow full of gravel next to your neck.
Are you going to Charleston?
Yeah.
That's good. I just
yeah, and all kidding aside, I'm seeing a very well respected neurosurgeon.
Yeah, I'm slightly concerned, and I'm being.
Well, I mean, if I had my druthers, I would just go out and fire up the, you know, I'd walk out to the hangar, fire up the Gulfstream 5, and just, you know, fly up to the Mayo Clinic. Or whoever's really particularly good at this kind of stuff. Or, I mean, I think there's a really good one out in Arizona somewhere. You know, guy fixes deadly aneurysms, you know, as a hobby. But that ain't what I got. I got what I got.
Well, you know, you're an intelligent person, and I know your wife takes really good care of you. It may be scary, but you know, you're doing the right thing. You got to get her checked out. My aunt lives next door to me. Now, she had an aneurysm and she didn't even know it. And she was bleeding in her brain for months.
Oh, Jesus. I tell you know who I'd like to find? I mean, if it was even humanly possible, you know who I'd love to find, Todd? I'd like to find the guy that did Peyton Manning's neck.
How about that?
Because, you know, he was in a position where, you know, one more good lick and you know, he basically turns into Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
And you know, now he's fixed up to, of course, he works out and he's, you know, but now he walks, you know, playing back there in Denver, and you know, they try not to let him get hit too much, but I've seen him on his back a few times, and oddly enough, he gets right back up.
You got that right. That's like getting hit. You know, you get sacked as a quarterback. That's like being in a car wreck with the whiplash. You know, if you don't see it coming.
Oh, Jesus. Wow. Here's another one. This just came in from Shorty in L.A. This is mind-boggling. This comes from Stars and Stripes, Todd. Get this. Apparently, this is Dateline today, December 1st. Osan Air Base is on a precautionary lockdown in South Korea as a result of an active shooter. Or a warning for an active shooter. Osan Air Base investigating whether a reported phone call to the base high school Monday morning that triggered an installation-wide lockdown and a search for a possible gunman was a hoax or a misunderstanding. We're still looking into the origin. Teacher received an automated phone call around 10 a.m. that said an active shooter drill was taking place. School went into lockdown after they verified there was no such drill. So, you know, who knows? But see, that's part of our American gun disease.
Yeah, well, you know, my mind has been opened up a lot in the past 2 years listening to not only you, but also Guns and Butter, KPFK, Pacifica Radio. They have a lot of good archived radio shows about, you know, the underbelly of our history. And, you know, these people are just devilish, man. Why are you so involved in everybody else's business? It does not work. It does not work. It doesn't work. You know, and we spent all this money over there and our highways, our hospitals, and they lie to us. People think we have the best health care. We don't have the best health care at all, period. We have, you know, good health care. You know, we don't even have clean water anymore. You know, great people like you, you know, look how far you have to go to get decent treatment.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, that's because I live in the middle of nowhere.
I mean, it seems like it would be closer for you to go to Chapel Hill.
Oh, no. Charleston's just 50 miles down the road.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, wrong Charleston, Todd. Not the real Charleston with the good food and stuff. No, this is Charleston, West Virginia, the state capital.
Yeah, I thought you were farther from there, though. I thought you were, like, down in that tail of West Virginia, the six towns.
Well, no, I'm about 50 miles east of Charleston.
Oh, okay.
You know, there's probably a neurosurgeon in Beckley, but he probably also does, like, you know, bovine neurosurgery on the side.
Right, I got you. I understand. Yeah, that's tricky business. Some of these doctors, they're like mechanics. There's a lot of mechanics, but they're not all great. But you know what? You know what you're doing, and you'll be fine. You already had your MRI. Is that what you told me?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that much. Right, and that's the one that. So yeah, I'll let people know, you know, either Wednesday evening or Thursday.
So did they see some edema or some swelling or something like that?
Oh, they saw a lot of stuff. I don't have the report handy, but you know, some of it's the degenerative changes that the flesh is heir to over time. There are, you know, osteophytes and things like that. But there's, you know, like debris rubbing against shit and. It looks like a couple, somewhere along the way, a disc or a couple of discs have just, you know, just blown out, you know, like, you know, just whipping around the turn at Daytona and just, you know, blue and, you know, whatever.
Well, maybe they'll just be able to drain it and fuse a couple of discs and be fine.
Hey, that sounds easy.
You know?
Yeah, of course, the problem with all of that. And, I mean, we're just talking about the realities of what we do here. The problem with all of that is if I take a week off, we'll wind up off the air.
See, that's the bad part. Now, have you been grooming your son?
No, he is not ready to get behind the microphone. No. He wants to, but he's not ready.
I just had to ask. Oh, and speaking of which, not your son, but, you know, the other day was the first time I heard Boss Man Wayne.
Oh, Boss Man Wayne, yeah, that was an awesome conversation.
Oh, my, I had to write that fucking quote down. I mean, because it was like, remember Mad Men?
History has a way of, history has a way of proving you're the prick you are. And you know what? Boss Man Wayne doesn't mean to. They just happen. Like early on in the program, you know, Boss Man Wayne is of Serbian extraction, and I forget what the word was, when we were talking one night, and he used the verb, and he said, which comes from an old Serbian term meaning to give balls.
Oh.
And the entire Horn Family Commune congregation was just ruined.
Well, when I heard that, I could just see Obama saying to John Boehner, glowing private on the golf course, and history will prove you to be the prick that you are.
History has a way of proving you the asshole, the prick that you are, yes.
Oh,
yeah, I'm contemplating. I don't have any tattoos, but that might be a first tattoo.
Okay. I mean, that's up there. It's hard to improve on that. Well,
Well, it's been a wonderful conversation, Todd. It really has. I love hearing from you, and I know the whole Horn family does.
Well, thank you, Bob. And
you know what? Next time, by the way, I realize now that was you calling into Dr. Bill earlier today.
Yeah.
Just make sure you use the Gizmo line, the line you're on now, and we can get you through to Dr. Bill. It's just when he comes through on the same machine that's bringing that line in, so I can't tie those two together without running into a potential disaster. You know, of my making, because I'm the one pushing all the buttons and making all the mistakes.
Okay, so you produce the show when he's on.
Oh yeah. I just sit right here in gobsmacked wonder.
Yeah, he's I'm telling you, I started from the. I said this guy is, but today I know you can clear up the code. Oh my God. I mean, for him to bear his soul. If people who have not heard, they don't understand what we're talking about.
No, and I hope we have inspired them to go and listen today, because I don't know what people are doing during that time slot, but there's no better use of it on a Monday, a Tuesday, or a Wednesday than Dr. Bill. Period. By the way, you brought that back up again. And, Michael and Madison reminds me, we really need a Latin translation of that phrase, because Michael says it needs to be crestified, and Michael has volunteered to work on the crest if we can get a good Latin translation of history. History has a way of proving you are the prick you are.
That's it. I remember because Wayne asked you that. He's like, Bob, I need you to say Latin. I mean, that's not the way you talk. Well, you know what? Your thoughts, our thoughts are with everybody's thoughts. You know, it's all about focus. We're all going to focus on you. All right? You're going to be fine.
All right. Thank you,
when
Todd.
When you get through, you'll get through.
And we'll all just cross our fingers.
And,
yeah, I mean, it's like somebody in the chat room was suggesting, well, Bob, you know, cannabis, medical cannabis, and I'm all in support of medical marijuana, but you know, more than 10 years ago when we started this, it was 2004. You know, I made a promise that I would never do Limbaugh Radio, that I would not get behind the microphone, altered or you know, twisted in any way. And I don't think I could do this all high and stuff. I mean, when my pancreas flared up a few years ago, I was off the air for like a week because I was just sitting there eating Oxycontins and chewing them up for the refreshing burst of flavor and going, oh, wow, dude. And then taking a nap and dreaming Samuel Taylor Coleridge dreams, you know, that had like, you know, unicorns and shit in them.
Yeah. You know, folks who have never partaken, I hate when they criticize and it's like they've never partaken in it, but it does work. You ever had a hang? I mean, it's just, people are just silly. You know, it's here for a reason. We have receptor sites for it. If you don't like it, don't do it. But don't tell me what the hell I can do when I can get a half a gallon of liquor and kill myself in one night. Just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and by the way, your mention of the wiggling pig, Todd, inspired a lot of responses. Haley in Arkansas says, "We have at our wiggling pig, we have fresh pig feet and salt fat back. No beer though. No beer though. It's in a dry county."
Here, get all your high blood pressure, but you can't watch it.
Goldenheart on Twitter says, I live on the fancy ramen because my stomach sometimes won't tolerate much else, so I feel you on the med blues.
I want to talk about food porn next time I talk with you, okay?
All right, it sounds good. You know, we're always open for a little food porn. And let me reiterate, that turkey picture that went up on Facebook, that was not burnt. All that blacking is the coloration you get from having it bathe in smoke for like 16 hours. And that's why you put the bacon over the top of it, because then you peel the bacon back and there's just this golden, beautiful turkey smoked deliciousness going on.
Damn, you're making me hungry. Stop it.
You? Carol lives in Hooterville. You know, I live 2 miles past the bumfuck Egypt city limits. You're hungry.
Oh, yeah, but see, I've got a penchant for the smoked meat. Listen, I need a shoe leather sole.
I know. I didn't see the same thing happened to me. I said that Saturday was my, and I'm because we know about what we know about head injuries and football, I'm really conflicted now about, you know, my lifelong love of watching college football. NFL, not so much. College, oh, hell yeah. So I'm watching Alabama and Auburn, let's put it this way, Jews and Christians dream of going to the Holy Land. Muslims are compelled, if possible, to visit Mecca. If you were born in Alabama, at some point in time, you feel compelled to go and see the Iron Bowl. Okay, it's like that. It really is. And so I'm hopelessly enamored of something called Dreamland Ribs. It is the best rib joint in the entire world, and it's in a little shacky looking place that has since been remodeled and upscaled a bit since I knew it as a student. But it's just off of Jug Factory Road. You know, how's that for local color? It's just off of Jug Factory Road, which is off of MacFarland Boulevard in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And they got ribs. They got ribs. And I'm sitting there watching one of the most magnificent football games I've seen in a very long time, or at least since last year's Alabama-Auburn game. And all I can think is, God damn, I want some ribs from Dreamland. That's all. Just some ribs and a pint of the sauce, and I'll be happy, God. You know, I don't even have to have the banana pudding after. Just the ribs and the sauce. And yeah, they ship and everything, and it's delicious when it's shipped in. But, you know, to really get the true of it all, you got to be sitting there. Because when you finish with that first rack and you look over and you go, I think I can do another rack.
Hell yeah. Yes. Yes.
And the guys in the back going, ha, 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 I knew he'd want another rack.
Damn. I hope they have an ATM.
Oh, man. No, they accept all forms of payment.
The smoke just melts out all the unnecessary grease and all that other nonsense, and you just get the pure goodness.
Well, yeah, and then you get that smoke ring. You know, that coloration all the way around just before you get to the whiteness of the pork wonderfulness. You know, that just... Because people who are not familiar go, well, that ain't cooked, it's pink. No, baby, that's smoked.
No. You know, because it comes right off the bone, and I remember, I know we got to go. Yeah, that Brinkman. Remember when the Brinkman smoker first came out? I was on that train.
Well, see, I have ambitions of a new smoker because mine's kind of shabby, and you can't really manage the heat like you'd like to. But the other thing is there's a more Asian style out there that's marketed as the Big Green Egg.
Oh, no, we have one of those.
Stop it!
No, no. Me and my college buddies, we have a big cookout every 4th of July. I want one. Oh, my God. That's fucking Genghis Khan shit. That's Genghis Khan shit. I'm sorry to be so crude, but that's the way I look at it.
Horst turned me on to this chicken idea that he deals with and says is the most delicious thing he's ever eaten over in Taiwan. And the way he described it just kind of sounded big green eggy, so now my head's gone. But we got to get out of here because it is now 9 o'clock, and I have overshot.
Food porn.
There we go. See you, Todd.
Bye, buddy.
Bye now. Thanks, Todd, and thanks, Tracy, for lovely conversations. Time to get out of here. Thanks, everybody. And thank you one and all for helping us meet Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. We'll be back tomorrow evening because it will be Titanic Tuesday. Thanks, everybody. Gina, it's all for you.